Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The development of Arboretum San Antonio is well underway, but before things get too far down the hiking trail, the planners want to hear from you. What would an arboretum look like that captures the feel, history, and culture of San Antonio? We're joined by two of the folks who are going to be working on the design of the project, and of course is the chair of landscape architecture, civil engineering, and ecology at Sasaki. She is also a principal landscape architect. And Anna, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much.
And also with us is Andy Sell. He is a senior associate landscape architect and ecologist at Sasaki as well. So welcome to.
Thank you.
So Anna, how do you describe what an arboretum is to someone who's never been to one?
Yes, that's a great question. I mean, an arboretum at the very basics is a collection of trees. But what I think we want to explore is what is an arboretum here in San Antonio. We have an incredible opportunity to work with this land that already has some incredible historic trees on it. And how do we ensure that that programming really aligns with what the people in San Antonio want?
So, Andy, you've been to the site, right?
I have, many times.
And okay, so tell me your impression. Like, okay, we want to put an arboretum right here at this Southside San Antonio, old golf course, been closed for a couple of years now. And you said, well, could you put an arboretum here? What are your thoughts?
My first impression is it's already a world-class arboretum to begin with. Right now, we're looking at discovering how does San Antonio see it as its arboretum? What do they see there? What do they want to do there? And that's exactly what we want to discover in this process of community engagement, so they understand what is the potential, and we understand what do they want to do? How do they want to recreate in that space? And of course, we want to leverage the great natural resources, the historic trees, and move that forward into a collection that is scientifically beneficial for the city, and as well as an opportunity to do research.
So there will be community meetings, opportunity to sit down with people, and they can get a presentation and they can express what their hopes are. We have one coming up. The first one is on August 19th at the Mission Library on Roosevelt Avenue. We're going to have two that afternoon, one at 3:30 and one at 5:30 p.m. So that's coming up. There's more after that. Anna, so you've designed other, you worked on other arboretums. So kind of talk about, like, you know, how is this different?
I think this is different because we are starting from the ground up. We are going to be able to talk with the community. We're going to be able to listen to what they want and actually start to bring that into the arboretum. A lot of times you are looking at an arboretum that is part of a university, or it's donated from a family. And so you have that kind of as your starting point. But right now our starting point is the community of San Antonio. And that is what's really unique about this process.
So, Andy, can you kind of follow up on that? So what does that mean, starting from the ground up? You're not going to be, you know, I mean, there's a lot there already. So explain how that works.
So this process, you know, there's a lot already. The golf course in itself has been designed. It's already really beautiful. It has great natural resources. It has Salado Creek going right through it. And along with Salado Creek, it has all of the protected historic trees. What makes this particularly unique is that this is being from the community. So it's grassroots, from the community, for the community. And this allows us to move from, you know, a private use golf course to a publicly open, accessible and free amenity for the community.
So our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We do want to hear from our listeners about what they want to see at the Arboretum. That would definitely reflect San Antonio's history and heritage, culture. 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. So, Anna, of course, how does an arboretum capture a city's, you know, culture? What kind of trees are there now? And is that part of the San Antonio culture?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will let the ecologist answer some of those questions. But I can talk from kind of a design perspective and community programming. So we're going to start asking questions right now, and this will be at the community engagement as well. You know, what do you want? What do you see? What do you think is missing? What would bring you here? We also want to ask the question is, what does an arboretum mean to you? And hear that and start to tease that out, because that's going to be very unique to San Antonio. And then what we're going to try and do is balance that restoration, the ecology, the trees, what you think of this beautiful land that's there today, with programming and really bringing people there to explore, learn, and then really have that strong connection to the land.
And Andy?
One thing that's important for us to understand is an arboretum is about trees, but it's also, we can expand that to a woody collection in general. You might be in one part of Texas and say a tree is going to be, you know, over 20 feet. But in some parts of Texas, that might be under. They might be more like a large shrub. And what's wonderful here at Arboretum San Antonio is that we have that mixture. We're at a convergent point of four different ecoregions, and you can see that represented on site with the different species.
So what are the four regions?
So we have the Edwards Plateau. We have Blackland Prairie that's coming in from the northeast. We've got the Thorn Scrub and the Flatlands.
Right. I was wondering about the Thorn Scrub. Because, you know, so, I mean, it will, I'm hearing about trees, but, you know, our landscape is so diverse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have that hard scrabble and the wild horse desert and all these different things, parts of the region, and that are constantly under assault, you know, with development. And so, so Anna, do you think that, you know, the arboretum not only is about the, you know, relationship between trees, people, the natural world, but also a way to preserve things?
Yeah, I think it's a way to highlight the history, but it's also a way to talk about the future too. So we need to think about heat. We need to think about climate and changes that are happening, and how can Arboretum San Antonio actually set us up as kind of this research facility? How can we learn about the future plants that are going to be best adapted, the ones that are going to provide the best shade? So we're really excited.
They deal with the heat stress.
Exactly. So we're really excited to not just think about the past and think about this incredible convergence of these different landscapes, but also thinking about the future and how this can really and help us move forward.
All right, so we're going to take a break here, but our phone lines are open. I have Sarah on the board, and Sarah, I'll get you on the air when we come back. We're going to hear what you're looking for at the Arboretum San Antonio. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is happening. It is a real thing. It's on the city's south side and is being called a cathedral of trees. Well, what else do you want to have at this very important facility for San Antonio? 833-877-8255. It's The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the development of Arboretum San Antonio. It is happening. But before the golden shovels are broken out, they want to hear from the community. What do you want to see at the Arboretum that would capture the feel, the history, and culture of San Antonio. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. With me in the studio, two of the designing team, Anna Kors and Andy Sell, and they're with the firm Sass Aki. And let's go to a caller. Let's go to Sarah. And Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Super excited about this new project.
Well, great. Thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts?
I am very interested in seeing how kids can be engaged in these spaces, you know, through natural playscapes or spaces to learn about why arboretums are important or preserving our natural spaces or natural elements. Just helping them kind of understand why these things are so important and them getting excited about it as well. So I'm curious to hear kind of the plans around that as well.
Well, thank you for calling in, Sarah. You bring up a great point. So, Anna, how are children and children's spaces being considered?
Well, thank you, Sarah. I love this question. I am actually a mom of 4-year-old twins, and so I'm constantly thinking about the spaces that I'm taking my kids to. And one of the key things we think in Arboretum San Antonio is how are we going to connect that next generation to the land so they have that ownership, they have that love. It's something that they grew up with. For us, we're going to consider water. We're going to consider playscapes that are really nature-based so that it's about exploring, even having some risk associated with that. We've learned through our designs and our projects when kids actually have that adventure and risk as they play, it creates a stronger, more self-assured individual. So we're going to learn and use a lot of the research that we've investigated over the years and really bring that here. Right now in the process, we're looking at the existing conditions and what is there today. And we're going to be reporting that back out to the community. And then moving forward, there will be lots of opportunities when we start coming up with designs and concepts to give us feedback. And playscapes and sort of places for children will definitely be one of those places we want a lot of feedback on.
It seems like now with housing, so many more people are living in like apartment type spaces and they don't have backyards. And so they turn to parks and recreation and space, green spaces like this to use as a place to, you know, get dirt under their fingernails and have fun and be outside. So is that happening, something that y'all consider?
Yeah, absolutely. Our public spaces are our living rooms. There are backyards. There are places to connect together. And we want to make sure that Arboretum San Antonio creates that social connection as well as that connection to nature. And it should be a place to explore. And that is the place that you go when you need to get outside, a place that you go right after work, or a place for a big event, too. So we want to think about the spectrum of social interactions that would happen within here.
Let's go to another caller. Our number is 833-877-8255 if you want to call in with your ideas and suggestions for the Arboretum. And we have Edward on the line. And Edward, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for the show. If I'm not mistaken, this is a follow-up from when the project was initially announced many months ago, even here on the show.
Yes.
My suggestions are dog-friendly, very dog-friendly, including even a dog park. Child-friendly is great, too. Water features, like water play pads, both for children and dogs. I'm glad one of the designers mentioned large-scale events. I think that's huge for bringing people to the space and awareness that the space exists year-round. And with all of that, incentivizing local businesses to open up or relocate to the edge of the acreage, mostly food and refreshment, that sort of thing.
All right, Edward, thank you so much for that call. So planning for, pet parents, with your dogs, what goes into that?
Well, I think coming from like ecological side, I have pets myself. I think he brings up a very good point of defining exactly where that space is. We do need to provide a space for our dogs. They are a major part of our life. But we also need to make sure that that space is safe for them and also safe for wildlife. So Arboretum San Antonio is in our design phase. We're going to strive for really helping to define, well, what is that program? Where do we site it in relationship to other elements like our children's play areas and our natural areas that are really preserved for interaction.
Well, it's 188 acres, yes. And I don't know how much of that y'all are going to be taking on initially. Is it going to be broken up into stages, or how's that going to work?
Through the master planning process, we're going to look at all 188 acres, and we're going to have some different design concepts that we'll come out to the community with to get feedback on, and then we're going to have one refined plan. And from that plan, we're going to think about phasing. And so that would, you know, range from a few acres to maybe more in a first phase. So that will all be tested out, and we'll think about that with cost as well as time. And so we will have ways to phase this over time as we get through the end of the process.
But there is room, so you don't have to do the kids' park and the dog park. It didn't have to be the same space.
Absolutely, yes. You
can have considerations for that as well. Let's go to Pat on the phones. And Pat, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted, as a senior who uses a cane, to ask if y'all, what kind of surfaces? I know a lot of times there will be like that packed caliche or that packed road stuff, and that's really hard to maneuver if you're on a walker. That's one question. And then there's usually a dearth of places to sit and to be able to just sit and enjoy. And so that's one hope that I have, is that there will be places throughout to sit and enjoy. And then one last thing that's kind of crazy, swings for adults. Man, I'd love that. I know, it's crazy.
No it's right. Not. You got a great reaction from that, because they're so happy that you brought that up. So I think, Pat, you definitely brought up a good idea there. So let's talk about accessibility that Pat brought up, and then we'll get to swings for adults. I hadn't even thought about that before. But so, you know, people who are in mobility chairs, people who do have ambulatory issues, I mean, this is going to be their space too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So how do you consider that?
Universal accessibility is absolutely paramount to what we do when we design. A lot of times we will actually engage individuals that have, a walker, like Pat was just saying, to understand what is their experience and how can we learn from that. And we will then embed that into our design. So we want to ensure that every person has an opportunity to get and have the same experiences that other people would throughout the entire site. And I also love that she brought up, you know, seating, and that is part of accessibility. And we want to think about the details of that, not just having seating, but what is the seat type? Does it have a back? Is it under shade? And ensuring that that experience is really wonderful and something that will keep bringing people back again and again.
So what about adult swings? Is that a thing? Or
absolutely.
Okay, what does that look like?
We've actually...
Is it just larger? Or, you know, what is it?
No, I smile because, adults need to have fun too. And we talked about play spaces, and play spaces are multi-generational. And so we've actually designed adult swings in major parks. And so it's thinking about just opportunities to sit, relax, and have a bench that's moving and taking you through a beautiful environment.
And it's very relaxing, comforting, soothing. We should have more of those.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll put one in my office. All right. Let's go to another caller, Catherine. Catherine, you're on the air.
Was calling in. I wanted to ask about and sort of suggest areas, sort of places that like teenagers can hang out at.
All right. Yes, and you've got another fist pump for that question. So, Andy Sell, how do you program for teenagers, particularly when we keep hearing about how they're not interested in being outdoors?
I love this suggestion, because a lot of times when we think about designing spaces for kids, people under 18, for example, we often gear more towards the younger generation, you know, the 0 to 10 years old, and we often leave teenagers out. And that is the population that really needs to be engaged, because they're making decisions, career decisions on what they want to do, and that's kind of how I found my passion in landscape architecture and ecology, is being connected with the environment at an early age. So things like challenge courses are really great opportunities.
What is that?
Challenge course is a ropes course, rock wall, opportunities for teenagers to kind of have their own space, to be away from parents, to be away from younger siblings. And that opportunity allows them to kind of create, you know, a hangout spot.
So, I mean, we're talking about this facility and all these ideas are coming at you. And is this what a arboretum typically looks like in if I went to one in some of these other cities, Anna?
I think it really varies. So, you know, Rice University in Houston, Texas is an arboretum. So there's a wide spectrum of what an arboretum can be. And so we're going to be exploring those. And I think what we're starting to hear is this want for community program, these events, these places that are bringing you there. So we can balance that as well as being an arboretum. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because I keep hearing like these are things that I would think would be at a park, that we right. should be having these all over San Antonio, not just at the arboretum. But yeah, let's put one there. But it's going to be near all these majestic trees. Yes. Andy?
Exactly. So at its core, an arboretum is a collection. It's a living museum of trees. They can be native. They can be nearby native. So they could be regionally native. Or they could actually be from other regions, other areas of the world that have very similar climatic conditions. And so you can go to the Arnold Arboretum, for example, one of the oldest arboreta in the United States.
And where is that?
It's in Boston, Massachusetts. Connected with Harvard University, it served as essentially a grounding place where tree species, shrubs and tree species were brought to the United States to test out for being used in landscapes, for being street trees. And so arboreta are essentially those testing grounds, those research places for understanding how do we increase our canopies and our urban spaces? How do we regreen? And a lot of times, how do we help species move, especially if those that are endangered or threatened in the wild, how can we help them live in our world?
Let's go to another caller, Kyle. And Kyle, you're on the air.
Hi there. I have a question about other plantings apart from the trees. I lived in Dallas for a number of years, and Dallas has a fabulous arboretum right there on White Rock Lake. It's a beautiful property, but one of the things that I always was aware of is that most of the plantings that they have there are more ornamental, non-native. They don't do anything for pollinators, yeah. Wildlife, wild birds, things like that. And I'm just, you know, when I think about a San Antonio arboretum, I think about something that's more mindfully wild mm-hmm. and more conservationally minded, especially in that part of San Antonio where we have already have the Mitchell Lake Audubon Center, really wonderful wild lands down there. And what thought is being given to that kind of approach?
All right, Kyle, thank you for that. And Andy, can you respond?
The caller brings up a really good point. Even though an arboretum is kind of defined generally by its woody plant collections, the understory, the herbaceous material is critically important, not only for all of the ecological resources that it provides. You know, the caller mentioned pollination, for example, as an ecological system service, but we're using the understory to really help leverage the woody plant collection and make that part of the story of San Antonio.
Right, and I like the idea of helping pollinators and birds, which are also being stressed right now. We're going to take a break. We'll go back to some other callers. Sally, hang on. We'll get you on next. If you got a question, a comment, suggestion for what to do with our Arboretum San Antonio now in development, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, two of the folks on the design team for Arboretum San Antonio, and of course, Andy Sell, They work with the firm Sasaki, and they are working with Arboretum San Antonio on this master plan. What should it look like? How will this be a unique and just awesome location that definitely just feels like San Antonio, has the culture, has the history, just into the DNA? So we got to bake it in before the ground, you know, before groundbreaking, before ribbon cutting, and that's where you come involved. What do you want to see at Arboretum San Antonio? What's part of San Antonio that has to be part of this Arboretum? So give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Sally on the phones. And Sally, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I was wondering whether you could give us a clearer idea of what the intention is for our Arboretum, whether they'll be having both native plants and well-adapted plants and things that are not from our area. And I was wondering if they're planning to have a committee of stakeholders to help them define good characteristics for developing the plan. But in particular, what I'm looking for is something kind of like Hardberger Park, where I could become educated on what works well in our area, like the many faces of Salvia greggii, which I've seen in so many different applications. And how do we know when our trees are healthy, and how do we know how much water to give them? Do they need to be fertilized and stuff? Because we've lost so many now.
Right. All right, Sally, you bring up a lot of really good, interesting points. So, Andy Sell, what are the goals for Arboretum San Antonio in regards to what kind of trees and other plant life do you, you know, the goal that meshes with the goals?
Mm-hmm. The caller brings up a good point. And the goal of any Arboretum is really to be a teaching resource, a resource for community members to learn more about their landscape, to learn more about their natural history, and also, more importantly, what can they do to be better stewards of the environment? And that includes things like including native plants in their landscape. You know, our collection, we're still in this, you know, discovery phase, but we really see this Arboretum as an opportunity to celebrate native plants and also bring in plants that are adapted to the San Antonio climate, that are non-invasive, that can also bring in other ecological services, like providing shade, for example. So the Arboretum is going to be an educational resource, just like Hardberger Park, which is a great example already on the north side of the city.
Right, but you guys are working on the design. You're not doing the programming part of it, right?
We'll do all of that.
All that too. Yes. So then you'll be like, we need classes, show people, you know, how to plant trees, how to take care of your trees, those types. What trees work good and in which environments?
Yeah, well, we really think about programming tied to design. So if we're doing a programming like you just mentioned in education, you know, is there an education a center, a small nature center, a place that people are gathering that would then be informed in our design and looking at the location of that and how that flows within the larger plan itself. So programming and design are really woven together through this process.
Let's go to Eric on the phones. Eric, thanks for calling in. And Eric, now you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. One thing that I would like to see in an arboretum, I know you said it's 188 acres. I think just one of those acres would be great for, you know, teaching the community how to grow food in their own space, you know, teaching them about sustainable gardening practices, you know, just how simple it is to grow food in a small space, something that they can learn at the Arboretum, take back home and grow food for their family. Where the Arboretum is located, I don't know if it's technically a food desert, but I think that might be a food insecure section of our city. And I just think something like that would go a really long way to help out the community.
Eric, thanks for that. So the San Antonio Botanical Gardens has a kids gardening program, which is awesome, where they anyone can sign up. It's a very nominal fee. And then they give you an allotment, and then they provide the mentors to help you grow food. And they'll give you the seeds. They'll give you the sprouts and the startup plants. And they take care of the soil, and it's all very, you know, very rich and amended. And The kids are able to grow a tremendous amount of food, and they take it home and they're so proud. And then, of course, they're going to eat it because they're so, you know, jazzed about, wow, I grew this. And next thing you know is you got yourself a mad gardener in your house who wants to do that at home. So, I mean, I think that's a great suggestion. So is that something, Anna, that works with the goals of an arboretum?
I think absolutely. And I think you can even talk about the history of how the plants were used and how we can use the plants today. And I think besides just growing food there, I think the education and how to cook it, prepare it, how to then do it at your own home, all can be tied together. And we can think about that as a programming and provide space. So I really think this is a great idea and absolutely in line with the goals of education and understanding the landscape in the region.
Andy Sell, we have native trees like mesquite, mm-hmm. which most people don't recognize as a tree that provides great food. I mean, and the native people used to use mesquite to grind and make a flour, and it can be used mm-hmm. for cooking. There's other things about the native wildlife that was very vibrant and part of life before settlement. Is that something that can be included?
Absolutely. And I think that is where the arboretum is going to take food production the next step forward, is thinking about the landscape is already very productive. There's a reason why San Antonio's is a destination. It was a destination for indigenous peoples for thousands of years, just because of the water, because of the resources of the trees. And so we can think about the productiveness of the trees and the plants already there. There's agarita you can pick the fruit from already. And you mentioned, indigenous uses of those plants, not just for culinary, but also for medicinal purposes and also for something like tool or tool building.
All right, let's go to the caller. We have Terry, and Terry, you're on the air.
Hey, my question is, I'm a cyclist and I ride the trail, the Salado Creek Trail. How baked in to this arrangement is the Salado Creek Trail? Will the trail go through it, or will there at least be a way to get from the trail to the arboretum? I know they're adjacent. I just kind of wanted to know.
All right. Thank you for that, and happy cycling. Anna?
Yes, that will actually continue through the arboretum. There will be an alignment that will kind of take you through the entire site and kind of continue the connection. So that's absolutely going to be part of this programming.
And so there's a Salado Creek Trail, and then there's talk of connecting it to the Howard Peak, which is kind of the Greenway Trail, which is more of a larger network. So that'll all be connected as well. So what about for runners? I mean, people who run, this would be a great location if there's a great trail. You don't have to cross streets. You may, if there's a marked out 5K path or something like that, that would definitely bring foot traffic to the park. Is that something that's being considered in planning?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to think about all modes, right? Biking, running, walking, sitting. And so that's going to definitely be part of this plan. And again, tying back to the programming, a 5K, we want to think about, is there a loop that actually could be designated as a 5K? And so that can be considered as part of our design. It is going to be a beautiful running opportunity.
With shade.
With shade, yes, exactly. We need the
and
shade.
Water.
Beautiful running shaded paths.
All right, and we have, this is Don. Is it Don? Don, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering if you're going to be doing anything in conjunction with the San Antonio Master Gardener Program. They have fabulous education programs. If you have questions about your trees, your grass, whatever, you can contact them.
Well, it sounds like an opportunity for free labor. So there are lots of resources, allies that I guess need to be roped into this whole project. Is that right, Anna?
Yeah, I think we're identifying all the different stakeholders, all the different sort of allies, as you're mentioning, and individuals that we can start partnering with and collaborating with and seeing maybe that this could be an opportunity for them to do demonstrations or ways that we can provide a space that they have been lacking in their other programs. So we definitely want to consider those conversations, and that's a great one that the caller brought up.
And now let's go to Pat on the phones. And Pat, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm the adult swing person.
Okay.
But I had another thought. We are directly on the pathway of the monarch migration down to Mexico. And wouldn't it be awesome to have a good section of plants like milkweed and other things. But then to take it a step further, to have a place where they could, you know, like if you had a window or glass, a lot of times the chrysalises will attach themselves to that, and you can watch the entire progress. Just a thought.
Pat, well, thank you so much. I think it's another great suggestion. And so, Andy Sell, something for the monarch butterflies.
100%. I love that idea.
Because, you know, a monarch butterfly would look at a golf course and see a desert.
Yes,
there's
absolutely
nothing there for them. Or even look at a wheat field and they're gonna, or a corn field, they're going to see a desert. It's got to be the milkweed.
Absolutely. And it's not just milkweed in general. It's multiple species of milkweed, right? That the diversity of milkweed species that all monarchs can use as a food source is important, as well as all of supporting pollinator plants that give that monarch nectar resources throughout the year.
And that's also part of San Antonio history and culture and our vibe. What else do you want to see included in the Arboretum that would amplify San Antonio's culture and history and vibe? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues right after this. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Arboretum San Antonio, happening on San Antonio's south side. This is going to be 188 acres of awesomeness. But will it reflect San Antonio's cool vibe? That's up to you, because you need to speak up. They're having there's an online survey that people can go to, which is at arboretumsa.org. And you want to tell us more about that, Anna?
Yeah, if folks can't come to the pop-up events or the August 19th community event, there's the online survey that you can give us the same feedback that you would do in person. It's an opportunity to answer some questions ranging from what do you think an arboretum is to what do you want to see here, what is missing. So we're really excited to get that feedback, and so we hope people take that survey, as many people as possible.
Right, so you mentioned the event that's going to be happening on August 19th. That's going to be at the Mission Library on Roosevelt Avenue, and that's going to be at 3:30 and again at 5:30. It's an opportunity to look at presentations and also offer up your suggestions for what the future of the Arboretum could be. And that's up to you, because this is a community-driven event. Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We have Tiffany. And Tiffany, you're on the air.
Hey. So I was lucky enough to move from the southeast side of San Antonio to D.C. a number of years ago. And I was even more lucky to live a 10-minute bike ride from the National Arboretum. And it was a transformative experience to have a park like that versus the parks I grew up with here. And there are a couple of things that I'm noticing that we still, as our parks have developed and become even more beautiful, haven't included. And one of those is spaces to be in quiet contemplation. It was really wonderful to like wander and learn about plants that I'd never seen in my life, because water. But it was also really cool to know that a million people lived there, and the Arboretum was always busy, but we were frequently alone with our thoughts and with the plants. And that's not something I have. I live near Hardberger now, and that's not something we have here. But also, I think that San Antonio has a really special relationship with water that, as we've developed, gets forgotten. Our creeks, our river, I would really love to see something similar to like the rills that exist at the botanical gardens, showing how we would irrigate using our natural water sources, or just allowing that noise and movement to bring peace to the area, and finding a way to have surprising art, but like where you can happen upon the art and have a moment with it.
All right. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you dipping into your wealth of experience to help us plan for this. So how is art going to be incorporated into the Arboretum, Anna?
I think art is something that we'll talk about as we start looking at designs and concepts. And I think the most successful art in public spaces happens when you're engaging artists and understanding what is the type of space that they hope for, and making sure that we consider art in all forms. So not just sculpture, but thinking about performative art, thinking about art that is transforming and never static. And so that's something I think we'll love to consider as we get into the designs, is how can we have multiple layers of art throughout the Arboretum? And then how do we ensure that art is reflective of the community of San Antonio, and maybe opportunities for national, international artists to also come here too.
Mm-hmm. All right, and you wanted to add to that, Andy?
I'll just add that the caller brings up a really good point about the health aspect of this, this green space, and the need for us to find a quiet space to get away, and also kind of, you know, forest bathe in a way that helps us to reduce stress, to lower blood pressure. And if we think about San Antonio of the future, and as the city grows, this arboretum, this resource on the southeast side, is going to be incredibly important for that area for this reason.
All right, let's go to another caller, and Samir. Samir, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having my call. I was wondering if you guys are familiar. We were in Boston last year, and part of their big project that they did there, but the big dig, was the Boston, the Green Line. And it's this, like, very long, multi-mile green area in the middle of the city, lined with cafes and breweries and shops and vendors and food trucks. And it goes for miles. So if maybe your panelist is aware with the Boston Green Line, I mean, I would think that would be something really cool for the Arboretum to kind of be able to incorporate some of that as well into an area of it where the Boston Green Line, they did it seamlessly. Like, you're walking through nature and all of a sudden there's an outdoor cafe and you can grab something to eat. You know, it was really cool.
All right, Samir, thank you for that. And so, Anna, of course, is that something that's being considered?
Yes, Andy and I are both smiling. I lived in Boston for 8 years, and it is a really spectacular space that the caller is talking about. And we really think that there can be a balance here at the Arboretum where you have that programmed area where you could have that cafe, where you could grab a coffee, where you could have a little bit more energy and activity happening. We absolutely see that here, but we also see that as balanced with that contemplative, that restoration, the places that you can walk through and sort of get away from it all. And so we'll be looking at how do we balance that? Where does that balance happening? And how does that lay out in the future designs?
How do you imagine, you know, you can design it and build it, and then you got to maintain it. And so, and nature has a way of doing what it wants to do, you know. So how do you maintain, make sure that only the stuff that you want to grow there grows there?
Yeah, operations and maintenance are actually embedded in the design process for us as well. The last thing we want to do is finish a project, open it, and then have forgotten about maintenance. So we're going to be thinking about all those maintenance strategies and how they can be tied into the design. And, you know, the environment does their own thing, but people do their own thing too. So ensuring that our design can withstand both of those forces is really critical.
And planning for public safety in this facility, you have to also consider that you need emergency. Folks need to be able to get in and get out pretty much everywhere in the park and the Arboretum. How do you plan for that, Andy?
So we're considering that right now in terms of accessibility, the condition of the cart pathways as they are now, thinking about in the future when we're designing this space, where do emergency vehicles come in, right? There are two neighborhoods adjacent to it. How do we design it with respect to them, to their privacy, and also to their accessibility? Accessibility and designing for safety is critical in this next phase.
Does it take a lot of water to make this happen? Or you have the creek, but there's not a lot of water in that creek. So how are you going to work with the constraints we have on water these days, Anna?
Yeah, I think that's going to be considered in the design process. I would say there's not a lot of water in the creek except during a large flood, and we've seen that.
Well, yeah, and that's why it's important to maintain the creek.
Exactly. So we want to also think about that balance of infrequencies and in the flooding, and so how does that happen with maintenance? But then it comes back to the species and being selective in the plants that we're going to be putting in there, in the trees, and how can they be drought tolerant? How can they handle the influx of big storms? So that's all going to be considered in our planting strategy as well as just maintenance overall.
So what does the timeline look like for the development of the Arboretum San Antonio, Anna?
So this is a year-long process as we're getting into the master plan. Like I said, we're going to be looking at existing conditions and what's there today. How do we build off of that? Because there are some really magical places, some beautiful trees already there. Then we're going to come up with some design options, and we're going to go back to the community and say, here's some ideas. What do you think about those? We're not going to choose one design. We're going to take some of the best ideas from each of them and come up with a preferred plan. At that point, we're going to start talking about phasing. What does that look like? How does that align with available funds? How do we think about earned revenue within the Arboretum itself so we can offset operations and maintenance? That's all going to be baked into our design process. And then from there, really it's going to be about fundraising and how do we open up those phases that allow the full vision to be implemented.
Andy, what kind of trees are at the facility now?
So right now we've got, so I'll just back up and say we are one team of a 10-team designing this space, and we've got 8 partners local to San Antonio that are really helping to move us forward from community engagement all the way to our tree survey. So our tree survey is being conducted right now by the Urban Tree Company. And so they've documented over 28 woody plant species in addition to what we've done surveying for herbaceous. So things like, you know, some of our biggest trees are really going to be those live oaks. But you've also, what are really unique is Texas persimmon. There's some really old ones. It's a species that grows.
Like how old?
Very slow. Well, not necessarily. I don't really know the age.
I've heard
age.
Like 200-year-old trees are at this facility now.
Yes. Some of those live oaks, you can hug them and still can't touch your hands. So they're quite incredible.
So that's something you can't import, you know, and you don't want to have to start with seed for something like that, you know?
No. That's the great thing about this this project and this site is that it comes with great trees already, but we're also thinking about the future, right? Seed to shade. And, you know, the CEO, Thomas Corser, always likes to reference a quote about all great societies lead with people planting trees from which they won't sit under their shade.
Because we're thinking about future generations.
Yeah.
And so do you think that Arboretum San Antonio will be something that will be celebrated for and enjoyed for generations, Anna?
Absolutely. That is our goal. We want the kids to come here. We then want them to bring their kids, their grandkids. You know, this is a place for generations and generations.
And what a great opportunity for folks now to be part of creating something that will be stand for generations and contribute and pay so many dividends. I want to thank you both, Anna Corse and Andy Sell. They're with the firm Sasaki, and they are helping design the Arboretum San Antonio. Thank you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.